Well, thank you, Hector. He does a good job. We appreciate Hector. He grew up here in our church and ministry and served with us so long and so talented in the music. And then God brought Sharon along, and they just made a great combination. Serving God together down the Fort Myers area. And we're glad to come back visiting every now and then. And maybe you'll get the time to fellowship with them a little bit if they're going to be here on the watch night service. It's been our blessing today, Brother Burt, myself, to have our sons with us. My son preached this morning. We're going to ask Nathan Burt to come and preach tonight. Nathan's preached for us before. He's out in California serving the Lord out there. We of course, know Brother Paul Chapel, pastor out there, and Brother Nathan's on the staff there at Lancaster Baptist. And I joked with him a little bit about the governor this morning out there in California. He said the governor was letting the prisoners out of jail. I said, well, the governor ought to be in jail himself, so maybe there'll be plenty of room for him. And I don't think he's going to tell him that, but come on, Nathan, and preach for us tonight.
So much, Dr. Carter. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2 tonight. I've really enjoyed the music today, and what a blessing it was to hear Hector, and I'll be able to see him again, as well as family that sang tonight. What a blessing to see the kids singing, and then even this morning with the O Holy Night song. What a blessing that was. I love the verses, all the verses to that song, and it's just been a wonderful day in God's house. I believe in the power of prayer, and I'll tell you why. I saw a prayer request answered yesterday morning, and I believe that some of the students of the school have been praying to see their principal jump out of an airplane. They should have been a little bit more specific, though, because unfortunately he did have the parachute on. So we did jump out of an airplane yesterday, me and my dad, and we had a great time. Please don't just write me off. You can listen to other things I say tonight. Don't write me off as crazy for jumping out. When we landed, the guy said, will you do that again? And I said, maybe. It was great to check that off the bucket list, but I probably won't be going back anytime soon. So we had have been having a great time with our family. And thank you so much, Dr. Carter, for the opportunity to speak tonight. We are in Luke chapter number 2. We're just going to read one verse. A very familiar passage. I'm sure many of you read through this chapter on Christmas morning with your family. So we're going to just read one verse, verse number 7. The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this Christmas season that we've been able to focus on you. Lord, I pray that you please help us as we open up our Bibles to the Christmas story, probably one last time for the year 2020. I pray that you would please help us to listen closely to what you have for us tonight. Lord, I know this is a familiar story and a familiar passage, but Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts tonight and that you would draw us closer to you through what we hear from your word. We promise to give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure as Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem that Joseph's mind was focused on shelter as they reached this small town of Bethlehem. I know that if Joseph was anything like me, I like to have my trip planned out completely. And sometimes my wife makes fun of me because I will have a whole itinerary and make sure that I know every single detail of a trip or a vacation. I mean, we got the flights, we got the rental car reserved, we got the hotel reserved, we got the itinerary, an Excel document with all of the different places and all of the different details. We got the parking reserved if we need to park somewhere downtown. I know where we're going to eat. I have the coupons. I have the gift cards. I know exactly where everything is going to be. I know that I want to see a specific site. I know that I want to do a specific thing. And for me, it brings comfort when I have everything planned out and I can actually relax and enjoy a trip because I don't have to worry about all the details. I don't know if Joseph was like that, but he missed one detail. He didn't have a place to stay that night. Now, this detail came back to bite him because we know the story that the only place available there in Bethlehem, probably because so many people were there for the census, the only place available was a stable. Now, this stable could have been a few different things when you study the first century world. It could have been a public feeding trough outside of Bethlehem. A small town such as Bethlehem might not even have what we would consider an inn or a hotel, but they would have maybe they would have this type of an inn or a hotel there, but they would have a stable outside the city. It might have been a cave. It might have been the stable in a traditional sense as we think about Christmas, but either way, it was not the place for any baby to be born, let alone the Savior of the world. Now, the world today looks back to the stable 2,000 years ago, and I think we can all agree tonight that the world today needs some stability. Amen. I think we can understand tonight that Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring that stability to this world. So very quickly tonight, let's examine three reasons why Jesus was even born in a stable and how he can bring stability into our lives this evening. Number one, the first reason I see that the reason that Jesus was born is in a stable is because the stable was available. The stable was available. It was free. There was no cost to the stable. And we understand that Mary and Joseph were not rich people, and the stable was the only thing in Bethlehem that was available, and that was free. Now, I think we all understand it when we travel that we don't look for the cheapest hotel, right? And especially if the hotel is free, we probably don't want to stay there. Now, I don't know about you, but I've have the blessing to travel around the country. And next year, my wife and I are going to make it to our 50th state. I'm so excited to be able to knock off all 50 states. And we're going to make it up to Alaska next year. And that's our last state. And I've had the privilege of traveling around and preaching in different areas around the country. And I will tell you this, that there are certain warning signs whenever you go to an accommodation that it's probably not the best place to stay. I would tell you this, that if it says free HBO on the outside, probably not a good sign, right? Especially if they misspell it. If there's lawn chairs and personal items outside of all the rooms, that's probably not a good sign that it's a good hotel. If there's drug deals going on in the lobby, not a good sign. We stayed in a hotel a few years ago that we had to put the towel on the bottom of the shower because the shower was just so filthy. That's not a good sign that it's going to be a good place to stay. Some people ask me, what was the worst place that you have ever stayed? And I can tell you, we've stayed in some pretty horrible places over the years, but probably the most memorable one was when we were on our second anniversary. We were traveling for our Bible college. We were in the Midwest, and we were hitting just an ungodly number of states and churches that summer in just about a month. And we were in the Midwest, and we pulled up to the house that the church was going to have us stay in, and we pulled up to the front, and the lady who lived in the house that was providing us accommodations came out and met us, and she said, "Now, I want you to park right there." I said, "Okay." Pull in the van, you know, park right there. She said, "That is a good place to park because it's under a street light and this is a bad neighborhood." Again, not a good sign, okay? But what are you going to do? So we unpacked and she took us into her home. They had a massive, massive dog. It was like a bear and just shedding everywhere. And we got to our room and it was on the second story. And we walked into our room and we realized very quickly that the room was not going to provide the privacy that my wife and I would necessarily need. There were no curtains on the windows. The window was just straight out looking over the neighborhood. And specifically what caught our eye was when you closed the door, there was still about an inch and a half of space between the door and the wall. And so that was, I don't know if she liked spying on the people or what in the guest room, but that was not a good sign. I laid down on the bed with my suit that I had been wearing that night, and my black suit turned gray from all of the pet hair that was on the bed. Eventually, we took the comforter down and noticed some very strange yellow spots that were on the sheets under the comforter. If you laid there in bed, you could see just a crazy amount of very scary-looking porcelain dolls all staring at you while you were sleeping. I could go on and on and on about what a crazy place it was to spend our second anniversary, but I think all of us could share a story or two about a place that was available, but it really wasn't the best place to stay. And can you imagine Joseph's mind as they're walking into the stable or cave or whatever it was, this watering fountain for animals? We don't know exactly all the details about it. Can you imagine as he walks into this stable and he's thinking that his wife is going to have a baby? The one good thing about it was available. Jesus Christ's gift of salvation is available. There is a free gift that God gives to us. There is no cost to that gift. It is available. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin, the paycheck of sin, what we have earned is death. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ paid for that gift already. I'm sure many of you exchanged gifts on December 25th last week, and all of those gifts were hopefully paid for. And when you gave them to whoever you gave them to on that Christmas morning, it was a free gift for that person. You had paid the price for that gift to give it to the person that you love. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Jesus paid the price on the cross. He paid the price for our sin. And even though we earned the death, that spiritual death, that physical death upon our lives, Jesus paid the price. His gift is available. Isaiah 9:6 is another verse that we quote around Christmas time. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, even in the days of Isaiah, Isaiah was saying the Messiah is coming and he is available. It's for all of us. It's to every man and woman who has ever lived, regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of what's in your wallet. God has a gift for you. And it is available. I see another reason that Jesus was born in a stable tonight. The stable was available, but secondly, I see that the stable was accessible. It was accessible. Now, the inns that would have been in Bethlehem would not have been the type of inn that we would think of today. This first century inn would probably have been a large courtyard. And it probably would have just had a well in the middle of that courtyard, and people would pay to go into this inn, this courtyard, and oftentimes they and their animals would sleep in this courtyard with the available water provided by the fountain. Now, if you were in a really, really fancy town in first century, they would have maybe some rooms around the edge of that courtyard that you could rent, and maybe leave your animals out in the courtyard with everybody else, and you could go inside to one of those rooms. Bethlehem was such a small town, though, that that's probably not what they had. They probably just had a small courtyard that people could pay to get in to rest for the night. Obviously, this inn, or however many inns were in Bethlehem at the time, was not available, and it secondly was not accessible. It was full. You see, if Jesus had been born in an inn, which probably would have been a lot more comfortable for Mary and Joseph at the time, if Jesus had been born in that inn, The visitors that came later that night, those shepherds that heard the message from the angels, would probably not have been able to get into the inn to see Jesus. If Jesus was born in the inn, he would not have been accessible to any person who wanted to come visit. But Jesus was not born in the inn. Jesus was born in the stable. The stable was accessible. Matthew 11, verse number 28, Jesus himself says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I think that describes most people during the year of 2020. "And I will give you" what? Rest. Revelation 22, last chapter in the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, we had quite a special event in our family this year. We were able to have our first son, and we named him Silas. Good, strong Bible name. And so we named him Silas, and little did we know when Alyssa was pregnant, and we found out she was pregnant back in December of last year, little did we know what would happen in March of this year. And so we really had not been planning very much on a worldwide pandemic hitting the state of California, and we really weren't ready for all the restrictions that they would have in the hospital when Alyssa was able to give birth to Silas. They had restricted all of the access to the hospital so much that she was the only one that was allowed to go into the hospital when she was in labor. I believe we went to the hospital around 3 a.m. and obviously babies just always seem to come at those crazy times, right? And so I had to leave her, let her walk into the lobby of the hospital. The security guard was there to make sure that I did not come in. And she had to go to triage, and she had to wait for a room to get available. I believe I spent about 3 to 4 hours sitting in the car in the parking lot waiting to be with my wife, who is in active labor, who the nurses are not really taking care of because they have so many other things to do as well. And she's there in labor, hooked up to the machine, and I'm just waiting for the opportunity to come and to be with my wife. Well, finally, after about 3 to 4 hours, a room opened. They were actually thinking about sending her home, and that was not going to be a good thing. And so finally, a room opened, praise the Lord, and I was finally able to be with her when we were in our room. Well, the craziness doesn't stop there because she had to get a COVID test before I was able to come into the room. And the hospital rule was that if she tested positive for COVID, that I would not be allowed into the room for any type of labor and delivery. Now, I don't know why. I really don't, because, I mean, we live together. We're with each other all the time. I don't know why I would not be allowed to be with my own wife. So we were a little bit nervous about that, and praise the Lord, she tested negative. We had heard about all the false positives as well, so that was another answer to prayer. Finally, I was able to come into the room. She was able to go have a C-section, and then her parents were there, not allowed to go into the room either. So now we're in our room. And I have pictures of my in-laws standing outside of the window of the hospital, meeting their grandbaby for the first time because they were not allowed into our room for the next couple days as she recovered. I tell you that story all to prove to you that there are births that are not accessible. I watched videos of my birth, and we watched videos of my wife's birth, and man, it just seemed like we had like 20 family members all around during the whole thing. Not today. You know what, guys? Not all births are accessible, and if Jesus would have been in the inn, those shepherds would not have been able to get in to see him. You see, the gift of Jesus Christ for all of us is available. It's free, but it's also accessible. Anyone who desires that gift is welcome to come and to partake. Thirdly, tonight, and we'll be done, the stable was available. The stable was accessible. And thirdly, the stable was applicable. It was applicable. The stable was a sign of lowliness. It was a sign of humility. And we read all throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament about the humility and the love of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9 tells us, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Philippians chapter 2, the famous kenosis passage tells us, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, the stable was applicable because the humble Son of God, the sacrifice for all mankind, the Son of God who left all the glory of heaven, was now born in a humble and lowly stable. And we can be thankful of that. One little note we can notice from verse number 7 that we just read was that Mary herself was the one to wrap him in swaddling clothes and lie him in a manger. And if you really stop back and think about it, you probably would have had a midwife do that. Or even Joseph would be doing that. And some scholars would propose that Mary, because she was the one to swaddle him herself and to lie him in the manger herself, that she was alone when Jesus was born into this world. Maybe Joseph was out looking for a midwife. We don't know. But as Mary held her firstborn son, she looked into the eyes of a humble Messiah who was there to give his life for the world. Mary herself served Christ from the very beginning. I saw a cartoon the other day of all the animals gathering around the manger, and the camel looked at the baby in the manger and said, "I will bear him gifts." And the cow looked down and he said, "I will quench his thirst." And the sheep looked down and said, "I will provide warmth for him." And the donkey looked down and said, "I will carry him." And the dove looked down and said, "I will bless his baptism." And the fish looked over from the bowl and said, "I will pay his taxes." And the pig looked over and said, "I will let him fill me with demons and then jump off a cliff." And wait, what? We all can do something for Jesus, since he has done so much for us. He has served us, and we can serve him. Now, did you know that America had an emperor? And his name was Joshua Norton. I just heard this about a week ago. He lived in San Francisco, proof that everyone who lives in San Francisco, even back in 1859, were a little off. September 1859, he declared himself Norton the First, Emperor of the United States. Now, some people think he was just insane, but the San Franciscans just loved it. And they just welcomed this insane man into the city. He would walk around the city and wear an elaborate blue uniform. He would wear a beaver hat with a peacock feather sticking out of it. And he would wander the city and inspect all the sidewalks and the cable cars of San Francisco. He issued his own money. And you can Google what his money looks like. It said right on the front, "The Imperial Government of Norton the First." And he would take his money and he would pay for certain things at different restaurants and different stores there in his area. And amazingly enough, the people loved him so much that they accepted the money as payment, even though it was obviously worth nothing. The city even provided him new uniforms. And if his old uniform would wear out, they would have a special ceremony to give him a new uniform. One day, one of the police officers who was new to San Francisco arrested him for being insane. He got in big trouble with the city, and ever since that point, all of the police officers in San Francisco were required to salute Norton when he walked down the street. Now, obviously, he had written love letters to Queen Victoria, and she did not respond. And obviously, none of all the rulers of the world were really recognizing Norton I, except one, King Kamehameha V of Hawaii. Hated the United States government so much that he refused to acknowledge the real government of the United States and only acknowledged Norton I as the Emperor of the United States. When he died unsuspectedly on the streets of San Francisco, 10,000 people attended his funeral, a record for the time. And in 1939, a plaque was installed at the Bay Bridge to honor Norton I. You see, he had been one of the first ones to call for a bridge to connect Oakland and San Francisco. And so there are efforts underway even today to rename the Bay Bridge as the Emperor Norton Bridge. Norton said he was the king. He was available and he was accessible, but he was not applicable. You see, his kingship was not legitimate. He was a fake king. And yet tonight, we can rejoice and we can worship, as the choir just sang, the real King of Kings, who is not only applicable for all of our lives, but he is also available and accessible. The songwriter asks, "What child is this?" And he answers his own question in the chorus, doesn't he? He says, this is Christ the King. If you have not received Christ into your life, Christmas is a wonderful time to do it. We have a Savior who can lift you out of the miry clay. He is accessible, he is available, and he is applicable for every single one of our lives. If you're a Christian tonight and you've maybe lost the joy of this Christmas season, there's still some time left for you to spend some time worshiping at the feet of the King of Kings. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being born in a stable. Lord, thank you for being the only one who can bring stability into our lives, because you're accessible and you're available and you're applicable for every single one of us. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room who has not accepted you as their Savior, if there's anyone in this room who's not sure that if they died tonight, that they would spend an eternity in heaven with you, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night where they set aside all of their pride and all of their doubt, and that they come to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we know this has been a tough year for many. And Lord, we are thankful as we close out this year, 2020, that you are the King of Kings that can bring stability into our lives. Pastor.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus is available. Apostle Paul, quoting the Old Testament, in the chapter that all soul winners use, Romans chapter 10, is telling how Jesus is available. You don't have to go up to heaven looking for him. You don't have to go beneath the earth looking for him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible says when mankind stands before God that every mouth will be stopped. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. No excuse, I couldn't find him. He was there. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being. He's there. You'll not have the excuse that you couldn't find him. He wants you to find him. He's looking for you. If you're here tonight, never received Christ, I don't care what kind of gift you receive this year or any Christmas, he's the greatest gift. I hope you've received him. Hope you know him. A little personal testimony of my own. My family made a lot of Christmas. We kids got gifts, even though we were poor, somehow parents got the gifts together. It was an exciting time. But they missed one little thing. They never really explained what the gifts represented. And I grew up, I graduated high school, and I could not tell you the true meaning of Christmas, except it was a fun time. I look forward to it. It was an eye-opener to me when I got in church and began to hear the gospel and understand it. Oh, I wish I'd understood it a lot sooner. Some scars I got wouldn't be there if I'd understood it a lot sooner. I hope you understand it. Young folks, listen. It's not that hard for you to understand. It's just, do you really accept, really believe, really know, really have a personal relationship? Jesus, your Savior. Amen. Is he your Savior tonight? We'll sing a verse of invitation, give you a chance to come receive Christ. Come pray if you want to. Join the church. Anything God's spoken to you about that you can do. Be a good time, good season to do it. Will you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
That was a good message for us. You know, Jesus makes it so simple to understand, so available, so genuinely real. This world needs something real today. It's been faked long enough, and enough deception going on, as we certainly know about. But I find this as I've ministered to young people here in this ministry through the years. Young people, and everybody really, is searching for this, whether they know it or not. They want that is really real, really genuine. Not just words, but real truth. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bert, for the message tonight. And did anybody, when he was telling about going to a bad motel, did you have a picture in your mind? Oh boy, just don't open up a bad can of worms there. Amen. But I'm sure glad that the Lord Jesus, God provided a place, and that picture of it, a place that was available, is very good, Brother Bert, very good. All right, remember now, we got the watch night service. Pray for it. Pray for the mission goal. And say, well, why do we need Wednesday night service? So we can practice for Thursday night. Amen. Amen. Just practice being faithful on Wednesday night and then be faithful on Thursday night. Amen. All right, if you're visiting with us today, we're so glad that you come to be with us, and we hope you'll come and be with us again. Father, dismiss us now in your love, and we thank you for the message speaking to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.